Ephesians 3, verse 20. Go to Ephesians 3, verse number 20. And we've been talking about, we started a series on take no thought. Don't take the enemy's thought. Don't take the negative thought. Don't take the destructive, deceptive thought. But cast that down. Only receive the thought of the Lord, the thoughts of the Word of God. And we talked about mature thoughts. And then we talked about faith thoughts. And last Sunday we talked about faith from generation to generation. Faith thoughts. And today I want to continue, but I want to talk to you about where did faith go? Ephesians chapter 3, are you there? Now, listen closely as we look at the scripture in a moment. Because see, faith is affected by our thoughts. Faith in our heart is affected by our thoughts, by our thinking. Genuine faith in our spirit man cannot be shaken by the thoughts that the enemy may try to infiltrate your mind with. Now walk with me. This is powerful. Well, yeah, what a great crowd in the balcony. We're talking about where did faith go? See, what's happening in our world, and I know you identify with this. What's happening is in our world is the more you listen to all the voices on the internet and on the evening and morning news, and all the different ideas of everything that's going on in the world. And I'll talk more about that next week. And all those things, our minds get infiltrated with thoughts. And if we have been infiltrated with a lot of negative thoughts, even though you may have first reacted against it and said, man, that is just so dumb. That is so stupid. That is so idiotic. That is so devil. And even though you may have responded to negative things in those ways, the enemy will still try to hunt you with it and grab you with it and chew on you with that thought until pretty soon, if you've entertained it long enough, it will affect the way you think in regard to the kingdom of God and the scripture. I have found it, listen, I found it trying to happen to me, to lull my mind asleep, all right, so that I can't think according to the Word of God. I want to talk to you today about where did faith go. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Now to him. Now, catch this thought. This is a God thought. Now to him who is able to do abundantly above and beyond the governments of the world. Come on, somebody. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all of the doubts and fears of the enemy. Come on, somebody. Now unto him who is able, exceedingly, abundantly able to do beyond all that we can ever ask or even think. Unto him who has the ability to take a negative thing and make it a positive thing, and take a negative thought and turn it into a God thought. Now unto him who is able to take a sick body and make it well. Now unto him who is able to remove sin and to give us righteousness. Oh, come on, somebody. This is a good pause break right here. Come on, let's give God praise. Now unto him who is able. You didn't know all that was in that verse, did you? But it's there. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Think. Somebody say think. The word is literally thoughts of faith. It doesn't mean, this word think right here has nothing to do with mental assent. It doesn't have with anything to do with a negative or even a thought in the natural. This is a supernatural thought above all that we could ask or even think. To him, now watch, according to the power that works in us. So if thoughts affect our faith, then we've got to line our thoughts up with the Word of God. In other words, we need to think beyond the natural to the supernatural, because God said, if even you're thinking in realms of my kingdom, my spirit, my anointing, I'm still going to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond that. Hello. No, we know in our finite minds in the natural, God's always far above our finite thoughts because he's infinite. But think about it for a moment in relationship to thoughts exceedingly abundantly above all that we think. That we can spiritually perceive with our mind, that we can dream of with our spirit, that we could understand or heed or even ponder about in the realms of God. Have you ever stopped and just sat before the Lord at times and thought about the grandeur of God, the grandeur of heaven, and the greatness of who he is? He is so much mightier than what we could even dream or imagine. I've never been to heaven, but I've read about it in the Bible. And the heaven is the way it is because God himself is the light of heaven. Hallelujah. And there's nothing greater than him. But think of the grandeur. Think of this. Somebody say, God thoughts. Above all that we could ask or think. And then he goes on to say, according to, which means in the Greek, it means after the manner of. All right? So beyond that we could ever think according to the power, or beyond the manner of power, or into the prophetic purpose of God. He can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that I can even come up with in relationship to the prophetic word of God. He still does greater and mightier than that. So the importance is to get our thoughts of faith in line with the word of God and the power of God working in us. David said this, and the psalm, he said, how precious are your thoughts toward me, O God, how great are the sum of them. Think about it. Where did faith go? In Luke chapter 24, verse 38, the Bible says this. He said to his disciples, Jesus did, he said, why are you troubled and why do thoughts, let's add something to that, by definition, doubts arise in your hearts. Why do thoughts, now let's look at this with me, because it's the thinking of man that deliberates with himself. So why are you troubled in your thoughts? In other words, why are you deliberating in your own mind about things you have no control over when God said, I have control over it and I got everything handled? He said, why do you allow those to trouble you? In other words, where did faith go? Where did faith go? Well, I thought I had it. I thought I had it. I thought I was trusting God. I thought I was believing the Lord. But then I became troubled and I became anxious. Where did faith go? Those thoughts. Why are you troubled in your thoughts? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? The scripture says the thoughts are inward reasoning or questioning what is true or disputing or doubting. In other words, Jesus was saying, where did your faith go? Because what we've got to have is the faith and the thinking of God with which we are speaking back and proclaiming the prophetic words of the Lord. See, a good indication of how you're walking in faith is how you respond to your situation with your mouth. Because we can make this thing going on right now really bad for us. Are you hearing this? By the way, we talk about it, what we don't have, or what we wish we had, or on and on and on and on and on. And we can cause a defeat to come on our behalf. But the prophetic promises of God that are in us, when the pressure's on, will come out of our mouth and say, hey, it's happening, but my God's bigger. It's happening, but God's more glorious. It's happening for a moment, but God's changing it. Come on, somebody. He's bringing about an anointing because His promise is in the last days He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And there's harvest going on around the globe. Come on, somebody shout glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Why do thoughts arise? Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, the Bible says this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So out of the abundance or the surplus or the over and above or the overflow, the mouth speaks. So faith has got to stay alive in the spirit of our inner man. Amen. It's got to stay alive. We keep it alive by the declaration of the Word of God coming out of our own mouth. God, You promised this. I was crying out to the Lord yesterday and just saying, God, this is what You said. This is what You promised. This is what You said You would do. This is how You said You would move in me. This is how You said, Lord, You'd move in the church. This is how You said You'd move in the earth. And God, I'm holding You accountable to what You said. By faith in the Word of the living God. Elbow your neighbor and say, are you still here? Elbow your neighbor on the other side and say, your faith is coming back. Say it again, your faith is coming back. Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 23:7, and we dealt with this, says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or he becomes. So where faith? Faith isn't just in your head. Let me tell you something, because if you're trying to trust God just with your mind and your thinking process, and faith has not got a hold of the depths of your spirit, man, so that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God is God, He's going to work it all out. Come on, somebody. Amen. If you're thinking it in your head, you'll be double-minded. You'll be unstable in all your ways. But if you've got it in your heart, if faith is in your spirit, man, somebody say, faith is coming back. If it's in your inner man, you can walk through anything. You can stand against the wiles of the devil. You can overcome the powers of darkness. You walk into the victory that God has purposed and planned for you. And you can experience the revival fire of God in these last days as God has promised. Hallelujah. Because it's in you. It's in your spirit, man. It's not up here in your thinking. It's not in your reasoning. It's in your spirit where God says, thus says the Lord. I may not understand it with my mind, but my spirit says, I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. And I'm not sure how God works that all out, but I'm going to believe the word of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord praise. Give Him a hand clap out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now watch this. Let's go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 35. Listen to the word of God. The Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. In other words, a righteous man. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. Somebody say evil things. Verse 36. But Jesus said, I say to you that for every idle word every man may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. Very interesting. In the day of judgment, we'll give an account. Verse 37. For by your words. Now this word has to do with faith words, God words. All right? For by your words you will be justified. By the Spirit of life, by the word of the living God, by the promises of the Lord, by the commandments and the precepts, by those words. All right? You will be justified. Only, in other words, things made right. See, the only word of God or word that can make things right in anybody's life is the word of God. And we've got that word hidden in our hearts. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so by those words, we're justified. But now listen to this. And by your words, this word has to do with fleshly words. So the first one, by your words, faith words, you'll be justified, but by your fleshly words and thoughts, you'll be condemned. Now that's a deep truth. That's why we've, as believers, got to stay away from idle stuff, just idly, you know, stuff that doesn't have anything to do with life. Are you still here? I still got time. How many are getting this? But by your words of faith, you're justified. So in other words, if I take flesh words and I talk against what I've already asked God to do, and I start talking unbelief and saying, God, what's going on here? How come you're not doing this? And start talking the negative, you know what happened? Where did faith go? Are you here? But if in the middle of what I've asked God to do, and I stand on the word of the Lord, and I keep on saying, Father, by your word, this is what you said. I stand upon the word of the living God. He said, by those words, you are justified. Everything will be made right. Because in the court of heaven, when you stand before the Father in prayer, oh, hallelujah, in the Holy of Holies, the God of justice will make sure what he has promised will come to pass. Whew. Anybody getting anything? Hallelujah. Now watch. For by your words, in other words, the prophetic, all right, the prophetic promise of God. Now, here's something very important. Do not be presumptuous when it comes to faith or when it comes to God. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about here, what the word's talking about. Presumption means taking for granted or to presume or to suppose or to assume a probability. That's presumption. Now, here's what's got to happen. We're born again believers, but we cannot presume upon things. We must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for things. I cannot assume that just because I was raised in a pastor's house that I'm going to walk in the same thing that my parents walked in. No, I had to make a decision in my own heart of faith that said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I can't assume anything. I'm not going to presume anything because I will miss the mark. I will think that it's okay when it's not okay instead of having the faith of God to believe that God is taking care of the whole matter. Come on, somebody. Did you get that? Faith totally relies upon God. If we walk in presumption, where did faith go? Went bye-bye. But now watch. It's a powerful truth. All right? But we cast those things down. We cast those things aside. We cast away presumption. All right? Because we've got God's thoughts, the Word of God. The reality, faith is the reality of truth believed. Are you getting this? Faith is the reality of this truth being believed in your heart and stirring up inside of you with the promises of God. And that faith, the Bible says, is a confidence in the Lord that cannot be shaken. It cannot be shaken. Somebody say, it cannot be shaken. So where'd faith go? I want you to turn to Matthew 18:8 real quickly. Matthew 18:8. Listen to what the Word of God says. All right? We're talking about where did faith go. Luke 18:8, the second part of the verse, is what I want to focus on. Jesus said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. He was just talking about a woman who came to the king, or came to the judge, and needed him to satisfy something for her. But I want to catch the last half of the verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I've been praying this. I've been praying about this and saying, God, you've got to help us here. Because he asked the question himself, Jesus did, will he find faith? Will he find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes into your situation, will he really find faith or will he find presumption? Will he really find a heart that's after God? Now watch this, all right? So when the Son of Man comes, now the Son of Man is Jesus. He is the Messiah. Everybody say the Messiah. He's the Savior, the Deliverer, the Healer, the Provider. Hallelujah. He's our Lord. He's my Lord. He's your Lord. Somebody lift your hand and say, Jesus, you're my Lord. Hallelujah. Will the Son of Man. So when the Son of Man comes, the word is literally, in the Greek, the word is when he appears. And it's talking about his appearing. Now, we know Jesus came and died and he ascended back into heaven. And we now know that Jesus came and comes and lives in our heart. He dwells in you. He has already come to you once. Amen. Right? Amen. But now watch. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith? So when the Son of Man appears, or when he comes into sight, the reference is to the rapture of the church. When he comes, another translation means to present himself. When he comes, boy, I can't wait for that day when the Son of Man presents himself in glory and the trumpet of the Lord sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. When he presents himself. When he appears. When he shows the world who he is. Another translation says, when he appears or becomes understood before public. I'll tell you, there's a day that's going to happen, folks, not very soon from now, when a lot of people are going to disappear off the face of this globe. And other people are going to wonder, what in the world is going on? Did they die in their sleep? What went on? No, they just went to be with Jesus because their spirit heard the trumpet of the Lord. Am I preaching to the right crowd? Amen. Now watch this. The references to the return of Jesus and the final day of his appearing. 1 Timothy 6:14 says, the Lord Jesus Christ will appear, or in other words, manifest himself. There will be a manifesting. Titus 2, verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he appears, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let me ask you this question. Is there an anticipation of the return of Jesus in your heart? Man, I tell you, out in the world, and you're hearing it all on the news and everything, there's more of an anticipation of another stimulus check than there is about the return of the Lord. I kid you not. It's the attitude of dependence that, I'm getting ahead of myself for next week's message, but I'm telling you, the Satan has created this atmosphere in which people are now dependent upon man and a governor or a to take care of them rather than the anticipation of the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our faith is getting all messed up because people are putting their faith in man and their faith in the government instead of their faith in Almighty God. Where has faith gone? Come on, somebody needs to praise the Lord. Where did faith go? Where did faith go? Will he find faith? Now watch, because faith is persuasion, which is a cause to believe very strongly. I mean, we've got a cause to believe in God. I've got a cause. Number one, he freed me from the power of sin and darkness and hell and demonic attacks upon my life. He's freed me. Come on, somebody. I mean, I'll tell you, I've got a persuasion. You couldn't talk me out of serving the Lord. The devil can't do it. Because I'm persuaded. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor any other thing will separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. I'm persuaded. He said, I know whose I am and who I serve. Will he find faith on the earth? That faith is a credence. In other words, credence has to do with believing a testimony because it's credible. How many of you know the testimony of Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews, is a spirit of prophecy. But the testimony of Jesus is credible. He did die. He did raise from the grave. He did ascend into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is coming again. He did take your sin. He did take your shame. He did give himself for your healing and your deliverance. He is credible. Will he find credence, credibility in the hearts of his children that are trusting in him? Do we give him credit for what he does? We need to. Amen. Listen to this. Because faith is also conviction. In other words, a proof that we're convinced. We've got a strong belief. We're convinced. Because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or even think in faith thoughts. supernaturally beyond the word, there's a conviction. I've got a conviction that I know God is a God who answers prayer. I've got a conviction to know that God is the God of my life. He is the Lord over Pastor Gail. I've got a conviction. And I have convictions based on His truth. I have convictions that have established and have molded my values right here from the Word of the living God. Society didn't mold my values. Come on. Generations before me didn't mold my values. And I love teachers, but teachers didn't mold my values. The Word of God molded my values. Is there anybody here? Did some of them leave? Somebody say conviction. There's some things in this word that are so convicting to me. But there's no question whether or not it should be part of my life and how I should live in certain matters. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, where'd faith go? See, this faith is a faith that's full of truthfulness. In other words, corresponding action. Because I believe God. See, we trust God. We believe God, so we have corresponding actions. Amen. So when the Word of God speaks to us and says something, we our faith in corresponding action will begin to do what God said in His Word to do. And upon that obedience of doing what the Word of God said He would do, the Father holds Himself accountable to what He said. And because of your obedience, the anointing of God comes upon that obedience, and the promise of the Lord begins to be fulfilled in your life. His nature begins to be imparted inside of you at every obedient step you take. What's happening is you're becoming like Jesus. Faith. Faith is also reliance. Reliance. Who are you relying on? It's reliance. Dependence. It also is constancy in our profession. In other words, it's unchanging. It's not like Simon Peter, who was at the crucifixion of Jesus, and a young lady said, "Oh, there, he's one of the disciples." And he said, "Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not one of his." Somebody say denial. Reliance would say, "I know who you are. I know you're one of those born-again believers." And listen, the closer we come to Jesus in these days and weeks that we're living in, people are watching, and God is separating. He is separating the sheep from the goats and those who really are His. Because the Bible says He knows those that are His. Amen. Where did faith go? Watch this, because faith is also assurance. It is absolute confidence in God and nothing else. If all I had in my house left to eat was a little green pea, I would still be assured God would take care of me. Come on, somebody. Somebody shout assurance. It's also belief, but it's also fidelity or faithfulness to that faith and that belief. Where did faith go? When He comes, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find born-again believers who are prophetically declaring the word of the Lord from out of their heart, through their mouth, into the earth, and watching God in His accountability change things? Where did faith go? Is God still God? Is He still alive? You bet He is. Will He find reality? The Bible says, will He find faith on the earth? The earth has to do with the globe, including its occupants, literally the hearts of men. Will He find faith in the hearts of men? Will there be a reality of truth believed? Will Jesus absolutely find confidence in the hearts of men toward God? Will He find a hunger and a thirsting of those who are calling out and running after God? Will He find trust in Him and reliance upon Him alone? Will He find faith? I believe in the hearts of born-again believers, He will. Because we're not presumptuous about anything. We're believers in a truth that's greater than anything else in this world. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, I believe. See, I believe the Word of God. I'm standing on the truth. My faith hasn't gone anywhere. It's stronger than it's ever been. It's greater than it's ever been. Hebrews says, I didn't even get to that teaching this morning, but Hebrews says, we are not of those who draw back unto perdition or into destruction, but we are of those who go forward into the saving of the soul. Come on, give God praise. One of my greatest concerns as a pastor in this season of what's going on the globe and the things that have been demanded of everybody, I have a great concern that believers stand up and become believers and not shrink back and feel like, oh, it's just overwhelming and I'm going to be overcome. But that born-again believers stand up and declare who they are and who they serve and who our God is and who He can be in the lives of other people, hallelujah, and bring them into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Somebody get on your feet and praise God.